that good to meet on the first day of 1970 around the most wonderful book in all the world. We're going to read a psalm today, Psalm number 16. The word miktam, the heading, indicates that it's a prayer or meditation of David. Psalm number 16. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines have fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord, who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in Sheol, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. May the Lord bless to us this wonderful psalm. Shall we pray? O God our Father, we thank thee for the provision which thou hast made for our spiritual needs. From the very moment that we put our trust in thy name, right up until this day, the first day of 1970. We thank thee, O God, for thy protecting care over us. We praise thee for thy guardianship. We know that thou wilt lead us on step by step until that glad moment when we shall indeed be in thy presence where there is fullness of joy. We pray that thou wilt bless the meditation of this hour. We ask, O God, that by the Holy Spirit thou wilt speak to all our hearts so that we may be able to give thanks to thee that thou hast indeed spoken to us, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have divided this psalm into four sections. First of all, I want to speak about our prayers. Secondly, our privileges. Thirdly, our priorities. And fourthly, our prospects. This psalm, as I've already indicated, is a psalm of prayer to God. And there are certain things I feel that we should remember concerning our prayers that are of great importance to us all. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones has said that the three essential elements in all prayer is adoration to God, magnifying his holy name. As the hymn puts it, how great thou art. The Lord is great, and greatly to be praised. Then the second element, says Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, is humiliation. When we humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, when we take that place of lowliness and dependence upon the living God. And the third element is supplication. When we make known to God the requests that are upon our hearts. Now I believe our prayers should be simple. As a child speaks to its father. I'll never forget hearing an illustration that was brought by Dr. Alan Redpath many years ago. His wife was suddenly called away unexpectedly, and he was sitting in his study preparing the messages for the following day. His wife came into his study and said, "Would you see that our little lass gets off to bed? You tuck her in and hear her say her evening prayer." Dr. Redpath listened to that prayer that night, and after she prayed for the usual people and the usual things, she added a postscript, and she said, "Oh God, make me big and strong and good, just like my daddy." It was a simple prayer, but it went home to the heart of Alan Redpath. He kissed her goodnight, tucked her into bed, went back to his study. But her words remained as a challenge to him. "Oh God, make me big and strong and good, just like my daddy." He said, "We preachers are really very human after all." And he said, "I was so moved that I decided I would return to her bedroom. By then she was sound asleep. But," he said, "I knelt by her bedside and I said, 'Oh God, make me true and simple and sincere, just like my little girl.'" And he said, "If God has been pleased to bless my ministry, it has only been as that childlikeness has been evident in the work that I have sought to do for God." Our prayers should be simple. You will observe in many of the Bible prayers how short they are. The prayer that we were looking at last night consisted of 33 words. That was all. A simple prayer expressed from the heart. Then I believe our prayers should be specific. You noted our dear brother Willie said today, "Let's pray specifically." I only once was in Buffalo, New York, but I was very glad to have had the opportunity of visiting that place because I'd heard and read so much about Sister Abigail, Mrs. Love. When she was a little girl, she used to sit upon the knee of George Mueller of Bristol. And it was from George Mueller that she learned to be specific in her prayer. When she was very small, he said to her, "Remember, when you pray, be specific." That was a rather difficult word for a little girl. And when she went home to her mother, she said, "Mr. Mueller said I had to be specific in my prayer." Her mother then explained the meaning of the word. It wasn't specific. It was specific. To be definite in prayer. And Sister Abigail, in those early days, in praying for clothes for her doll, was specific. And God answered these prayers And she began to see the importance of committing everything to the Lord in prayer. And as we know, God used her in a very mighty way in leading many souls to Christ. Mr. Ari Laidlaw of New Zealand kept up a correspondence with Mrs. Love over 50 years. He said that in looking over the records, she won an average of 2 souls to Christ every week for all these years. God led her to people who needed the help that she could get. And if you've read the book Little as Much, if God is in it, you will see how very specific she was in her prayer. I went to conduct an evangelistic crusade once in Auckland, New Zealand. It was the first night of the crusade. We were having prayer meetings an hour or more before the meeting began. I went to what I thought was the prayer meeting, but I found there were many prayer meetings in that building. There were groups of people meeting in every room. The Sunday school rooms were filled with people praying earnestly. But what impressed me most of all was the fact that the prayers were specific. I heard names mentioned. I didn't know the people then. But during the weeks of that crusade, I became acquainted with these people, because these were the very people that were won for the Lord Jesus Christ. They were prayed into the kingdom. I was conducting a crusade in another part of Auckland. A lady and her husband, after the Sunday evening service, shook hands with me very warmly. At least the lady did. The husband wasn't quite so enthusiastic. But the lady said, "I would like you to come and visit me tomorrow. I wish I could stay tonight, but I've got to get my baby off to bed." I said, "I'll come tomorrow evening." Mentioned the time, and I was there about 7 o'clock. It wasn't long until that dear lady found Jesus Christ as her own Savior. She had been brought up in a Roman Catholic convent. Then she got mixed up with Jehovah's false witnesses. She didn't know where she was. That night God spoke to her heart in the evening service, and there was no doubt that the Spirit of God had convicted her of sin. Oh, it was such a blessing and an encouragement to see her make that wonderful decision for Christ. Then I turned my attention to her husband, a Scotsman, Angus Morrison. Couldn't have anything more Scottish than that. And I thought, well, I'll have a good link with him, but I found him to be a real stubborn Scot. I talked for some time, but I seemed to be getting nowhere. At 11:20, I thought it was time I leave. I said to him, "My dear friend, we are going to pray for you. And I believe that God answers prayer." He said, "You needn't waste your time, because it won't work." I said, "You don't know the Lord in whom we trust, or you wouldn't say that." I said, "I'm going to ask a whole lot of people to pray just for you. And I'm going to expect God to answer that prayer." Well, he said, "You can try if you like, but I'm telling you it won't work." I said, "Look, here's my card. I want you to make me a promise." He said, "Oh, you want me to promise now to become a Christian?" I said, "No. I want you to promise that when you do become a Christian, you'll phone and tell me. Because then I want to tell all these people that are praying for you that their prayers have been answered." So he was very cynical. He took the card. He said, "You won't be hearing from me." I said, "All right. We're going to pray all the same." That was Monday night.
Thursday afternoon, I was called to the telephone. Angus Morrison. I just phoned to tell you that I accepted Christ as my Savior this morning.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
I went out that evening.
And oh, dear friend, there was no doubt about it.
The Lord had been at work. That man was genuinely saved. And it continued
to go on for the Lord.
Our prayers should be simple. They should be specific. And they should be sincere. Notice here how specific David was when he said, "Preserve me, O God." And 2 Samuel 8 and 6 tells us the answer. And the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. What did I say last night? A prayer that has a right aim has always a right answer. Then note the sincerity. For in thee do I put my trust. James says in the first chapter of his epistle, verse 6, ask in faith, nothing wavering. Oh, let us believe that God can and will answer prayer. And friends, sometimes we become discouraged. In that evangelistic crusade that I was speaking of a moment ago, when Angus Morrison and his wife got saved, there was another man that worked with Angus Morrison who, through his testimony, came to the meeting. His wife had already been a Christian. And I'll never forget the night that that godless man became a child of God. When we went through into the auditorium, his wife, Mrs. Dunn was her name, put her arms round his neck and she said, "I've prayed for him for 22 years. The Lord has now answered my prayer." Friends, let us pray to believe. Sometimes we have to wait for the answer. Sometimes we wonder if the prayer will be answered. But let us trust in the Lord with all our hearts. One of the greatest evangelistic ministries going on in the world today is back there in Little New Zealand. A man who used to be a patient of mine when I was in practice, and who has kept in touch with me ever since, is pastor of a fundamental and evangelical witness for God. And the work there is just almost beyond description. Every Sunday night they see souls saved, and if there are no souls saved, then they gather the people together to pray and to find out why the blessing has been withheld. They can get 500 and 600 people to a prayer meeting twice a week. They have a 24-hour prayer service going on. They have people in that church who have covenanted to take up a certain time of the 24 hours, day and night, so that right through the 24 hours there are people praying for that work and praying for certain people who need the blessing of God. Is it any wonder that God is setting a seal upon that ministry? Is it any wonder that souls are being won for Christ? Oh, my friends, let us be believing believers. Let's trust in the Lord. As we pray, let us do it in faith. Nothing wavering.
Then secondly, our privileges. First of all, our relationship with the Lord. My Lord, David says, the one who strengthens me. My cup, the one who supplies my need. My counselor, the one who shows me what to do and where to go. Thou art my Lord. Verse 2. Verse 5. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Verse 7, I will bless the Lord who hath given me
counsel.
My dear friends, as we step out into a new year, we recognize that the most vital relationship is that which we have with the Lord. Apart from His, we can do nothing at all. But with His presence assured, we have confidence in facing 1970, knowing that He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Oh, how wonderful the Lord is! How we rejoice in His presence today. He is our Lord. We have proved again and again His faithfulness. He has strengthened us. He has supplied our needs. He has shown us the way that we should go.
My Lord, my counsel, my counselor. Then the second privilege that we note here is our fellowship with saints. The excellent in whom is all my delight. Mr. and Mrs. Willie knew the late John McAlpine well. I remember him saying in New Zealand, the Freemasons have nothing on us. We have the most wonderful fellowship in all the world. You know, dear friends, when I went to New Zealand, because the country is a most beautiful country, there are many scenic attractions, and there are two islands in New Zealand. There's the North Island, and there's the South Island, and there's a little bit of rivalry between the two. Mr. A.P. Gibbs, now with the Lord, said to me, I prefer the South Island. I think it's the most beautiful place I've ever seen. The North Island people, of course, they like to think that they have many attractions there. And so you're often asked, what has impressed you most in this country? Of course, they wonder if you're going to talk about the South Island when you're up in the North, and when you're down in the South, if you're going to talk about the North Island. Wherever I went in New Zealand, I said that what had impressed me most of all was the fellowship of the Lord's people. I came to this country in 1961, a total stranger. And from the very beginning of my association with American Christians, I have had the greatest possible joy in the fellowship that we have had in the things of the Lord. And my dear friends, I cannot speak too highly of all the kindness, of all the love, of all the fellowship that we have had in this great country. People may talk about America as they like. My father, who labored here for a number of years, brought me up to be pro-American, I can tell you. Because he proved the value of the fellowship of the Lord's people here in the United States and back there in the Shetland Islands. Humanly speaking, his work could not have continued. He never could have put up the buildings that he did if it had not been for the fellowship of Christians in the United States of America. Oh, friends, this fellowship is the most precious possession on this side of heaven. Oh, the joy when Christians meet. Christian fellowship, how sweet. And we have appreciated more than I can ever tell you the wonderful fellowship here in Park of the Palms, or as someone once wrote to me when I was here, Park of the Psalms. Then, our trusteeship. Verse 6, the lines have fallen unto me in the park of the palms. No, in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. See, there are two P's there, pleasant places, so you could easily read park of the palms if you didn't just, notice too carefully. But this is true. This is indeed a pleasant place. And, beloved, we have this privilege of being in pleasant places, not only in the physical sense, but, of course, most of all, in the spiritual realm. And ours is a goodly heritage. Oh, the blessings that we have received from the Lord. But we are responsible as trustees or stewards. We have enjoyed these privileges of divine grace. We have received all these good things from God. And now we are responsible to share with others the blessings that are ours in Christ. We are trustees or stewards of the grace of God. You remember the words of Jim Elliot? He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And as we have received from the Lord, so we are responsible to give back to him as his stewards of trustees. Number three, our priorities. What is our aim in life? David was perfectly clear about his aim in life. He said, verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me. And my dear friends, I have proved in my little Christian experience that when I have put the Lord first in everything, then every other thing falls into line. The greatest possible priority is to set the Lord always before us. In all things, he should have the preeminence. We are here on this scene as believers in Jesus Christ to glorify his name and to ensure that he is Lord of all. It was Ruskin who said very truly, he who gives the Lord the second place gives him no place at all. He who gives the Lord the second place gives him no place at all. He is Lord of all, or he is not Lord at all. I have set the Lord always before me. Oh, says David, this is my aim in life. Then he had this assurance in life. He is at my right hand. He had the Lord as his constant companion, not only going before him to lead him in the way, but walking beside him so that he was assured of his presence as he undertook the many responsibilities of life. The Lord before us and the Lord beside us. And then he adds, I shall not be moved. This should be our attitude to life. If we had continued our study as I had first intended in Ephesians 4 today, we would have seen that Paul warns the Ephesian believers lest they be tossed about, lest they be blown hither and thither by the winds of strange and false doctrine. We as believers in Jesus Christ accept the Word of God in its entirety. We have no doubts or misgivings about the validity of this grand old book. We have put our confidence in a living Lord, and so we can say today, with David the psalmist, I shall not be moved. Back there in Scotland, of course, the Presbyterian Church is the national church. So sometimes you may be asked, do you belong to the established church? And I always say, praise God, yes, I belong to the established church. It's well and truly established because Christ
is the foundation of this church. The church, the spiritual habitation of God. We are not moved if our trust, our confidence is in the Lord.
Then finally, our prospects. Sometimes in business life, a candidate for a position will ask, and what are the prospects? What are the prospects for the Christian? Well, first of all, David speaks of the fact of a literal resurrection. This, of course, is a prophetic statement relating to the Lord Jesus Christ and his physical resurrection. The fact of a literal resurrection is no problem to David. An empty tomb. Thou wilt not leave my soul in Sheol. And an incorruptible body. Because the body of the Lord Jesus Christ never saw corruption. There was nothing of a sinful nature in the blessed Christ of God. He was entirely apart from sin. Death had no claim upon him. Corruption had no hold upon him. He had power to lay down his life, he said. And he had power to take it again. Yet this commandment have I received of my Father. Then David goes on to speak of the fact of divine direction. Verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. Now we do not know what 1970 has in store for us. We have to leave the unknown future in the Master's hands, as the hymn says, whether sad or joyful, Jesus understands. But we do know that as we've stepped over the threshold of this new year, like Abraham, we know not whither we go, but praise his name, we know with whom we go. We have the assurance of divine direction every day and every step of the way. Thou wilt show me the path of life. The Lord's going to show it to you. You say, I'd like to just see what's going to be ahead. I'd like to know what's going to happen in February, March, April, May, so on. The Lord's going to reveal it to you in his own good time and way. You just leave the future with him, and all will be well. Thou wilt show me. He's promised you. Thou wilt show me the path of life. The fact of divine direction. And then the fact of divine perfection. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. As David has been speaking about our prospects, he has referred first to the power of life as seen in the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And Ephesians 1 taught us that the power of his resurrection is the power which we have as believers in Christ today. This is the power of life. It is because of the resurrection that we have received this life which is in his Son. It is because of the resurrection of Christ from the dead that we have a hope for the future. David says, I've got gladness in my heart. I have got a hope as I look ahead. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the divine guarantee that we're going to be in his presence where there is fullness of joy. Let's listen to the words of the Apostle Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope
by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God. One of my favorite hymns over here in the United States, in which we do not sing in New Zealand, is number 40, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, Saved a Wretch Like Me. One of the verses says, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we'll have no less days to sing his praise than when we first begun. The power of life, the path of life, and he shows me the way day by day. And then the promise of the life to come, because we are going to be with the Lord in glory forever. The prospects opening to the Christian view grow brighter as the days go by. Our prayer, let us continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Our privileges, let us rejoice at all that the Lord has done for us and given to us. Our priority, let us make sure that the Lord has always the preeminent place in our hearts and lives. And our prospect, we're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. My dear friend, we believe everything is moving to a tremendous climax. We can see prophecies being fulfilled before our very eyes. Let me say today, there is not one prophecy that remains to be fulfilled before the Lord Jesus Christ comes to the air to receive his people into his presence where there is fullness of joy. At any moment now, we may see him whom having not seen, we love. Midst the darkness, storm and toil, one bright gleam I see. Well I know the blessed morrow, Christ will come for me. He and I in that bright glory, one deep joy shall share, mine to be forever with him, his that I am there. May the Lord bless his word to all our hearts for his name. Now the other day I wanted to have the hymn, It May Be at Morn, so let's have it now, 398. O Lord Jesus, how long ere we shout the glad song? Christ returneth, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. 398. Coming soon, praise his name. Gracious Lord and Master, we do thank thee that we have this sure word of prophecy today. There is no doubt or question about it whatever. It is so real that the Apostle Peter even implies that it's something more real than actually what they saw on the Mount of Transfiguration, if that were possible. A more sure word of prophecy. One to which we should take heed as the days darken and as soon we are going to see the day star arise. O Lord Jesus, how long? We believe, blessed Lord, that your coming is very near. We just want to live for you. We want these lives of ours in the little time that we believe we have left until the trumpet of the Lord shall sound. We want these lives of ours, Lord, to really count for eternity. Oh, forbid that we should waste
time and effort on useless and worthless things. Help us, Lord, to live ever with eternity's values in view. Live for self, we live in vain. But live for Christ, we live again. Bless our dear friends here. Lord, we thank thee so much for them. We just rejoice today in thy presence. We have an audience here, Lord, that we know are just right with us in these great truths. And we're just able to enter into them so fully today. And Lord, we say, if here it is so blessed, what will it be up there? Oh, to see thee, Lord Jesus, in all thy glory and beauty, face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be when with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. Lord, in the meantime, keep us looking unto Jesus, we pray, the author and perfecter of our faith. We pray that thou wilt bless this year to all of us. We thank thee for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, which is our guarantee of eternal glory. We praise thy name, Lord, that thou art showing us individually, day by day, the path of life. But Lord, the best is yet to be, for in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Bless us now, we pray, as we separate. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be real and meaningful to us, moment by moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.